Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Hey, switch it up, Bobby. You say the exact same thing every week. What's up, everybody?
Let's not deviate from the plan that works. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the DL Gaming Podcast. I just record those and I play it at the beginning of every episode. Yep. We're here with just the three of us.
Emilio.
What's up? I jumped the gun. Sorry.
That's a preemptive hey.
Yeah.
And myself, Bobby. What's up, guys? So, big news today. Chad, you technically have a new computer, sort of. I don't know. It's got some old parts. It's got some new parts in it.
Yeah, I talked about it last week. I got a new motherboard, which is a MITX, which is a very small form factor. I got a new case, which was tonight was the first time you guys had seen the case.
Yeah, in person.
Bobby. And it looks like a subwoofer, doesn't it? It looks like about the
like
size
a big subwoofer.
Yeah,
the biggest of the subwoofers.
It's like a cube.
I don't know. I'm looking at my Bose subwoofer there.
And yeah,
it's I don't know. It's a little longer, but yeah, it's smaller than I thought. It's a Core V1 Thermaltake is the case.
Yep, correct.
Nice name drop on the Bose speakers.
Yeah,
only the best.
I just want to let people know I buy expensive shit.
I think they figured it out if they've listened to our podcast at all.
Yeah.
Give me another sip of that Cristal while you're at it.
Yeah, seriously. So I bought that. So everything else is, I made sure it was the right chipset and all for my current CPU. I made sure the RAM should work. And I made sure that the case used a conventional size power supply. So everything else is the same except some fans and the motherboard and the case. So we'll see how it goes. The problem is I forgot to do the I got a new vertical CPU heat sink and I forgot the clip over here, so we couldn't actually boot it up here, so I'll have to take that home and see if that actually works, which it probably won't, and I'll be calling Bobby all the time to get this working.
Well, your old motherboard was an ASRock and your new motherboard is an ASRock, and you're not reinstalling Windows. You're using the same hard drive, and I'm hoping. Now, these motherboards have different chipsets. Your old one was a Z87. Your new one is an H97. So you may run into some trouble. There's definitely going to be some drivers that need to be installed, I'm thinking, for the chipset. Maybe not for things like the USB, but I don't know. Fingers crossed. Let's hope it all works out.
Well, yeah, because Windows 10 is assigned to your hardware, right? Including your motherboard.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We covered this.
That whole Windows 10 is.
I've never done that before. I've done it with other operating systems, and if the motherboard is close enough, if it's exactly the same, yeah, it'll work. If it's close enough, it'll work as well. Now, I've done this with Windows 7, maybe Windows 8. But if it's a completely different motherboard, then a lot of times you run into issues.
So, Chad, potential issues. You don't have Windows 10, right?
Potentially, yeah.
So, do you buy it tonight, or do you?
I'm going to go home, boot it up, see what's wrong, because I already need to do a fan splitter, because the motherboard I have only has one fan input.
I have one.
I actually need two of them, because I need to go from one port to three. So I need a double fan splitter, basically.
Like split and then split again?
Yeah.
I have one anyway.
Okay, awesome.
But I bought a two-pack for like $3, so yeah. You're probably going to buy the same thing.
Okay, perfect. And yeah, so that's going on. So I'm sure next week, I was hoping to have some time with it yesterday, and due to circumstances, I was not able to do it last night. And then so next week, hopefully it'll all be...
That's my fault.
I'll be set up and ready to go. And I'll actually get to play some PC games this week. So fingers crossed, I can actually contribute to this podcast.
Mexicans are like gremlins. Gremlins you can't feed after midnight. Mexicans you can't leave alone for a weekend. He left one in his apartment. When he got back, there was three and one sleeping in his bed.
Yeah.
And he had just come back from a trip. And you know, like when you get back from a trip, you're like, all I want is my bed. Like people say that. And I was like, ooh, this is, he walked in. I was like, ooh, this is awkward. Yeah. My mom's asleep in your bed.
But it happens. You know, it's part of the fun of
it. I ran in there. I just brushed all the dildos and strap-ons onto the floor.
Yep.
And then, you know, I was like, this is.
Don't forget the now drugs. This is the drugs also.
Yeah, the drugs. And I was like, this is now adequate for my mother.
Yeah.
Okay. Because all that stuff is 4 feet away from her as opposed to one.
Yeah, so that was fun. But, yeah, we'll see how this goes.
So we took some pictures of the build and the final product, if it works tonight. And that's all going to be on Instagram and Twitter. And the word for both of those is DL Gaming. No,
not for both
different.
Of those. Yeah, so our Twitter Instagram is... Oh, go ahead.
Diddle
Logic.
Digital_logic. Yeah, at Twitter. And then Instagram is DL Gaming, DOTnet.
Yep.
I thought I was so smart when I got that, and it sounds so stupid every time I say it.
Yeah.
I die a little bit every time I say that.
Well, that's common with you. Sounds good when you think of it, and then it progresses, and it doesn't sound so cool.
Yeah. Well, check out those pictures. Probably Twitter is going to be the easiest place. I think most of our listeners follow us on there anyway. They're kind of awkward. We built it on my stove for some reason. I don't know. It was the only clear space I had in the house.
It was not only that, but you only have one overhead light, and so there's not a whole lot of light here at night. And so the stove also had the
it's never been used for anything else.
Yeah, so. The microwave above it has the light that comes down and shines on.
Look at the picture, you'll see what we're talking about. Not a lot of light in here. It's, I like to keep it a little dark. You know, the ambiance is important.
It's true. But, when you bring in the porn lights, so everything's really bright.
Oh, yeah.
So you like to keep it dark.
When we shoot, we have professional lighting.
Yeah, all the bulbs and all.
We got a guy.
I kind of put him into a trap the other day. I was like, hey,
this
dude.
Is Bobby you're talking about?
I have some professional reflective lights for, taking professional videos. And he's like, oh, yeah, I can definitely use those. All right. So, Steam Awards. I was surprised to see this. It seemed like a no-brainer. I was like, oh, yeah, this is awesome. Why haven't they done this before? And then...
Have they not done this before?
Well, here's the deal. They have promoted in December the quote-unquote official video game awards hosted by Jeff Keighley and several other companies. But what's kind of regarded as the official game awards, next to, like, we talked about the Golden Joystick and also... But I think there's maybe one other one that might have some significance.
The British one we talked about also.
Yeah, that was the Golden Joystick.
Oh, was it? Okay.
But Steam has promoted that, so in December they may do it again where it says, like, hey, these games are nominated and they're on sale. You know, watch the VGX live here, and they got it right built into Steam. So for Steam to do their own thing, I was just like, huh, that's odd. I wonder if they're... drawing attention away from that or just doing their own award show. But then I saw the categories and I was like, oh, this is kind of a joke. Not a joke, but it's not to be taken seriously.
Yeah, it's a cheeky approach at awards because the I'm sure you guys have seen them by now, but the categories are so non-specific and just kind of all over the place.
Well, let's get into them and we'll talk about what we all voted for.
Yeah, you'll get a sense for it right away.
Yeah. So the first category is the Test of Time Award, which... sounds pretty good. I mean, this is an award for the game that is just as good today as the day you first played it. I'm reading straight from Steam here. So I chose Team Fortress 2. That's always a great go-to game. Holds up.
Damn it. I got to change one. I see one here that you picked something that I should have picked.
I would have agreed with you up until Overwatch came out. I can't go back to 2 years.
The Test of Time. It hasn't even been out a year.
No. I'm saying that Team Fortress 2, I can't go back to now.
Oh,
that
because I've played Overwatch. You know, maybe we'll talk about Overwatch later, but I did play a little bit of that on my vacation and
hated it.
No, I actually liked it. I think it there's a lot of things that are better about it, but I feel like it's even more different. I recognize the difference between Team Fortress 2 and Overwatch even more now that I've played more of
Overwatch. Would you say it's similar to League of Legends compared to Heroes of the Storm? Like, it's the same genre, but they're different enough.
We're drawing too many lines here.
So,
but it still scratches the same itch for me.
For me. I can see
that. I can see that. But Team Fortress 2, I mean, it's still a solid game.
No, for sure.
So my Test of the Time Award, I went with Darkest Dungeon. I can definitely see where you're coming. I was trying to get something that was new enough.
Right.
I was kind of looking at this past year, so all the games I nominated for. But Darkest Dungeon, we played that in early access.
Yeah,
you guys are
choosing some recent games here.
Well, early
access. I didn't choose Overwatch.
Can you choose a game that's not on Steam?
Well, that's the other thing. If I could pick anyone, I would choose. No, I would choose WoW because I got back into it this year and I've been having a blast.
You know what? Let's do that. I mean,
that's a true test of time.
This is our podcast. We're adults. We can do whatever we want, guys.
Okay.
So, Chad,
I can't nominate it.
WoW, this. Then.
Yeah, it Especially would definitely be WoW.
And that wouldn't have been true the last two or three years.
That's very true.
Just recently, right?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Let's move
on. What did you say?
Of course, Binding of Isaac. Afterbirth. Oh, okay. I mean, I'm billionaire.
See, I feel like a decade has to go by for something to stand the test of time. And every time I hear that phrase, I always think of that Van Halen song, Only Time Will Tell If We Stand the Test of Time. Doesn't that seem like the most... That seems like a lyric like, what's her name? Kiera or...
Kyra?
No, she had Ciara? The face paint. She did the stuff with Puff Daddy.
Oh, Lady Gaga?
Girl. No.
I don't
Ciara?
Know.
Kiara.
I like your beard. Tip of my tongue. Who the
I
fuck is that? We'll come back to
yeah,
it.
Seriously.
Anyway, but it seems no, like a won't. Lyric that she would make. It just was so stupid, but I don't know.
We went off on a tangent there. Yep. Okay, what's next?
All right, the I'm Not Crying, There's Something in My Eye award. So this is when I was like, okay, these aren't that serious. I get it. But this is a game that, let's see, games are fun, but sometimes games become more than that and touch you in a way you weren't expecting.
Okay, so Bobby?
I chose, they didn't let me choose Life is Strange, so I had to choose Life is Strange Episode 1. But
I wouldn't even say, I would say Episode 5 would be the...
Well, obviously, I'm thinking Life is Strange as a whole.
Okay.
But it's kind of stupid they didn't let you just choose the entire game.
Yours is better, I'm going to switch to that one. I wanted to do Stomping Ground, and I'm saying that in a kind of a cheesy, a funny way, because... It makes me want to cry that
you paid
game,
for it.
That game took my money and then just left.
No, I see it.
But
Kesha, that was it.
Kesha,
we figured it out. Cracked the case.
Wood, by the way.
Yeah. What am I saying? You can't even get onto the store page for Stomping Ground, so you can't nominate it.
Yeah. And,
so
you know that she's talked about it, right? That she knows the guy, the head developer of that.
Oh, really?
And the head developer,
or one of.
Anyways, the one I finally chose with was...
Sorry, Skeptical Hippo.
...was Tharsis, just because it was so hard it made me cry sometimes. But I will be switching it to
Tharsis?
Life is Strange. Yeah, Tharsis. The board game.
The board game made you cry?
Well, I'm just saying it was one of the harder games I played this year.
Oh, that way. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. For me, I put Ori and the Blind Forest.
Okay.
And I had a feeling a lot of people are going to choose that. I can't wait to see the results from this, but I think that's going to be up there.
But there's a one later that I could have sworn I switched it, but we'll figure it out later.
Okay. What's next?
All right. The Just 5 More Minutes Award. You have an early day tomorrow. You need to get some sleep. So you're just going to finish one more thing before you decide to tuck in for the night. Just one more.
Civ 5.
Sounds so dumb when I say it. When I read.
Bob and I have the same one.
Yeah. Civ 5, obviously.
I'm surprised, Amelia, you didn't go with Binding of Isaac on this one.
Oh, yeah.
Binding of Isaac doesn't have that pull, like, one more turn, though. I mean, you can finish a run, you die, and you feel like you're at a stopping.
Or not even that. You can back out any time, and it'll save wherever you're most of the time. Save exactly where you're at, so you can just leave.
So I think I went with a good one, and I think Amelia might switch to mine. I went with Flame Break. Remember
that? Was really good, but we did finish it. And then Civ, you can't really finish.
But you put so much more time on Flame Break than you ever did on Civ 5.
Right. That's true.
Cool. What's next?
All right. This just sounds so dumb. All right. The Whoa Dude Award.
No. Say it right.
Oh, I said it
Whoa, dude.
Some games melt your face. Maybe it was a crazy plot. You know what? It's the Whoa Dude Award.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like a crazy game. I chose Doom just because it's a fast-paced shooter is the only thing I can think of.
Okay.
I picked Doom as well.
So I went a little... outside the box, and I'm probably going to get a little hate for this, but I picked No Man's Sky for this just because of the scenery and some of the stuff.
It's definitely like what they're presenting is whoa, dude, for sure.
Okay, cool. I'm glad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's next?
Bobby, we're simpatico here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're on the same page.
When you got a 69 that much, sometimes it matches up. What's next?
The villain most in need of a hug award.
Oh.
Some people just need a hug.
Okay, I definitely was going to go with... This is the one that I have some... I switched this one to Ori because you guys don't know the story.
No.
But the bad guy isn't that bad of a bad guy. But I switched it to Undertale because, of course, dude.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes total sense, right?
I kind of pulled a blank on this one, and I kind of gave up. So I was just like, yeah, fuck it. I chose Final Fantasy VII, which doesn't make any sense. I just happened to be playing that game this week.
Sephiroth's a motherfucker, dude.
Yeah. Okay.
I went with Doom just because I felt like...
Who's the bad guy?
Isn't it
there wasn't really a main antagonist in that.
Well, I almost went with Doom because... You go up and physically grab every bad guy. So I was like, if you think of that as a hug, then cool. But
this was the one I've been struggling with the most, so I might change it up later.
Yeah.
Okay.
I really don't care that much to change my answer, but I'm really not satisfied with it. All right, the Game Within a Game Award. I had a hard time with this one as well.
Just pulled the cable.
So, Kinder Eggs, Peanut Butter Cups, Jelly Donuts, all great things. I'm not even going to read the subtitles anymore. Game Within a Game. I almost went with, this is another one I couldn't think of anything, so I just chose Grand Theft Auto V. That had a bunch of minigames in it, right?
Yeah, I went similar. I went Fallout 4. You could basically play forever and never play the main game. So that's what
you know what the real answer here is. I'm thinking of it now. Witcher had Gwent, and Gwent was...
I almost did that, but
Is its own game now?
I played Fallout 4 more, so I'm giving the nod to Fallout.
Gotcha. I went with Inside, and not because it has a physical, another game inside technically, but it's running mind games on you the whole time. You know,
it's a fairly recent game.
Yeah, and it's trying to say something like, did you play it, Bobby?
No. Oh. But it's just from the same guys who did Limbo. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm familiar. I said it because... They're trying to say more than what is going on. So I feel like they're running game in the background.
But there really wasn't a mini game in it.
No, not at all.
Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to mean a mini game for a game.
We could do whatever we want, Bobby.
I know, but
you're saying my opinion is wrong.
Well, my biggest problem with some of your choices is that these games are so recent, and you really don't know if they stand the test of time, like Van Halen was talking about.
that's not what this category is.
Fair enough. Okay.
I thought this game was cool before it won an award.
Okay.
I put Darkest Dungeon.
I went with that at first, and then I switched it up, so I definitely agree with you.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like Darkest Dungeon was...
Darkest Dungeon.
A bit of a sleeper hit, right?
You guys are sucking each other off right now.
I mean, it's hard for me to tell because that was on our radar immediately, and then we played the hell out of it, and... I don't know. I felt like it wasn't that big in other circles. When it got its full release, I know it was on Twitch quite a bit. So I don't know. Maybe that got more recognition than I think.
It was a slow burn for them, but they sold over a million copies.
Yeah. So. I think that fits very well. I put Grim Dawn. I thought we played that pretty early and we loved it, and then it kind of picked up steam.
I don't know if it ever hit critical mass that it should have.
Yeah.
It might still... It won't happen, but it should have.
Yeah.
It's kind of a crime.
Hmm. Agreed. What else we got?
Best use of a farm animal award.
I was trying to think of a good one because there's tons of ones that have like...
There's a very obvious answer here, and that is Stardew Valley.
I went with Stardew Valley as well. Even though I played it all of about 15 minutes, that was the obvious one.
This is wrong. I put Vagante only because there was a chicken and we couldn't figure out what it does. And I don't know, it was the most recent farm animal. But now that I'm thinking of it, it's definitely Mount Your Friends. Right?
Yeah, they got the goat.
It's got a goat.
The goat. It starts with a goat.
It's a goat. A very statuesque goat that never moves. And it's the beginning of all stacking.
Okay, I definitely agree with that.
And if you don't know what Mount Your Friends is, just go check out a video online. You'll be shocked and awed.
All right, then the last one is you make up your own category. At this point, I was just trying to get the 25 XP for my profile, so I didn't really care. I just made one up that says the Not As Bad As Everyone Says award. And, of course, that is Duke Nukem Forever.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What award did you guys create, and what game did you choose?
Go ahead, Chad.
So I did the best new look at an old genre, and I went with Battle Rite. Because Battle Rite is a 2v2 kind of... arena combat game, but they just did it in such a way that I really appreciated that game. I didn't stick around on that game too long, but I liked it. So best new look at an old genre.
It's not here, but I kind of remember what I did. It was like the most passionate developers or most obvious passion for a game by the developers, and I went with The Witcher 3.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Wow, you really took the high road on that one.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
That's wrong even for you.
Why?
Because you've talked numerous times about the Warframe developers and how passionate they were about this game, and you wanted to play this game just because the developers were passionate about this game.
Yeah, but Witcher got all the awards. They also are very passionate about their game.
Mm-hmm. So you're wrong on your own award. You're incorrect.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, I got to pee because Chad's going to bring it up anyway.
Okay. All right. And we're not stopping, so pee quick.
Well, hopefully next week they'll have the results of this in, and we'll be able to talk about...
When's the deadline on this?
November 29th.
Okay, so you guys will have Tuesday, if you guys are listening Tuesday. Mm-hmm. To be able to do this.
I'm surprised they don't have a name for the trophy. You think they should have called it the Steamies or something?
The Steamies.
The Steamies.
It's a cool looking trophy. I don't know if it's an actual trophy. Do they actually get something?
I doubt it. Yeah.
Because that looks badass. Yeah. I would definitely take that.
Yeah, good looking trophy.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, let's talk about some games.
Okay. Well, I'm up first, I guess, with Watch Dogs 2. But I want to preface this by saying I didn't have a computer. So this was played on console, so I will just be talking about the game itself and not anything such as graphics or audio or anything else. I'm just going to talk about the game itself. I liked Watch Dogs 2. I liked Watch Dogs 2, 1, but so far it hasn't gripped me too much. There's a lot of shit you can do in this game. One of my biggest gripes with this game is... I don't like this concept of a superhuman. Like, he's this hacker guy, but he's also concealing weapons and blowing guys up and doing all these hacker things and then climbing buildings. Like, why didn't they have a whole team of guys that... Why didn't they just have guys that had their own specialists? And then when you go out
to...
Are
you controlling a team?
No, you're controlling one guy. You're just those...
You would have rather controlled the team?
What I'm saying is, if you're spending all day learning how to hack... You're not also learning how to shoot guns and learning how to scale buildings.
You found that your hero was unbelievably talented.
Yeah, like too much so. And he's put in...
The Witcher's like pretty fucking out there too. Do you think he's... But then again, he's vulnerable.
And
well, Watch Dogs puts itself in more of a contemporary...
Yeah, exactly.
To be taken seriously right. type deal.
Yeah, so that kind of bothered me.
But was the Witcher guy, is he too far out or is he...
No, because I think like...
The entire world is a little far out.
Yeah, there's magic and stuff. So, I mean, he doesn't... He fights and he, you know, he knows a couple things. But like, I'm just watching Watch Dogs and it's like three people in one... But he's a super elite at all three things.
Right.
And I don't know. It just bothered me.
So it's more Jason Bourne and not enough Ocean's 11 is what yeah. you're saying.
And they have a team, so I didn't see why they didn't utilize it.
Fantastic analogy.
Yeah.
I
could have gone with Italian Job, too, or Jack Reacher. There were options.
I tried watching the original Italian Job, by the way, and I could not get through it.
Oh,
it was,
that's a tough one.
It was...
Speaking of things, I am one of my... This might be on my epitaph that things don't hold up.
Is it Hold My Beer?
I started watching Forrest Gump. What a fucking great movie that is.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit. And it looks fantastic. By the way, the Netflix is also my account, and I upgraded to the UHD.
Oh,
so
really?
So now it's $2 more a month, and now we get UHD
Sweet.
Netflix. Yeah.
I think when I logged on, I don't know. I'll have to take a look.
Yeah, hopefully you can log out.
Sweet.
But there's all new giant TVs because of Black Friday and no.
Yeah, what did you get? Tell the.
So I got a 55 inch Samsung 4K monitor, or yeah, what are they called now? Image display,
yeah.
Smart display. They can't call them TVs. For $479.
And where was this at? Best Buy or something?
At Best Buy. And what's funny is I was in there for something completely, unconnected to a TV. I wasn't there for shopping. I had left my charger. I need a new charge cable in San Jose. So I go in there, and, you know, I was in this super long line, and I'm like, you know, while I'm here, let me see if any of their best deals are still around.
Yeah.
So, of course, it says sold out because they have the ones that just get you in the door.
Yep,
and then you, yeah. So I go up to the guy, the TV guy.
Doorbusters, they're called.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, hey, do you have any of these left? He's like, no, but... There's one left in like this other one that's not like far from us. And I was like, you know, this is one of the, they got to be losing money on this. And he found it. I bought it and I picked it up the next day. And everything's fantastic. Except for Samsung sold so many TVs that you can't update the BIOS. So I can't basically do anything.
Their servers are crashing.
Their servers are crashed because so many people bought TVs.
Wow.
Perpetually. It's been 2 days now.
That's insane. That's a problem you don't foresee.
Yeah, seriously. To get back to Watch Dogs, there was another thing I didn't like about Watch Dogs. So they have this phone. You can bring up your phone, and it lets you do a lot of the in-game different things, bring up the map. It has like this car app where you can, it's kind of like Uber, but you get to drive the car. So you can just request a car and a car is there and you can just get in and drive it off.
Oh, cool.
But the thing was, so they have all these, and they've got a huge town. It's like, you know, it's like Grand Theft Auto or whatever.
Right.
They've got this huge town, but right off the start.
Are you a black guy?
Yeah, you're a black guy.
Okay.
Which
you're not
cool.
The same guy you were in the first one?
No, it's a different city. So the first one was Chicago. This one is now Bay Area, San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland. So they have this huge city like Grand Theft Auto, but you can immediately fast travel right off the bat. And it just took me away from the game. Like I want to fast travel, but I want to be able to explore the city first and then bring it up.
Are some of the missions like long driving missions at least?
Where you there was one mission where it made you drive to the location instead of fast travel.
Just one. Wow.
So that was just unfortunate. It felt like something that I needed to earn. And so they would start you off like making you go around the city and all.
The amount of detail looks...
Oh, yeah. It's cool. It's a immersive. Cool game. I don't want to say that I'm not having fun. Like, this game is fun. Similar to Grand Theft Auto or Fallout 4, you know, they've got side missions, they got main missions. You can go around doing things, collection quests and all sorts of stuff. And it's a cool world that they've put you in. But and the third thing I didn't like is I didn't like the spec trees, you know, where you're putting points in.
Mm.
None of the stuff really thrilled me. And so I'm not really encouraged to earn points. So those are the three things I didn't like. Other than that, great game, and I'm really having fun. Hopefully I can play it on a PC here coming up, and maybe I can tell you a little bit more from that. But cool.
In other news of these kind of games, the what is it called? Not Grand Theft Auto, but what's the other one?
Fallout Saints Row.
Saints Row 4 just got... the Steam Workshop. So,
oh, nice.
That's a kind of the only reason it's worth saying.
Special colored dildos and stuff.
No, people are going to be putting like you can run around as Iron Man and shit like that.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
It's going to get crazy in there because it's such an open world.
And they want you to have fun, unlike GTA, which wants you inside the box.
Right. Cool. Next up, so Lost Castle is a roguelite.
Can you bring it up, Bobby? Because I haven't seen this game.
Roguelite is kind of like a roguelite, but it's not quite as punishing. You know, when you die in Binding of Isaac, that's it. This one, as you're playing, you're kind of unlocking skill trees. So the next time you come by, you have different attributes that you can unlock. So basically, I'm so glad that you brought up Flamebreak because I was struggling for that name. It's Flamebreak, but it's a 2D side-scroller.
Okay.
And it's also local co-op.
Nice.
And so sounds you can cool. see here, recently, overwhelmingly positive. This is a great game. Sam and I were playing it. We were really enjoying it. Tons of items and random dungeons. Like, basically everything I like. The combat is a little simplistic, but that's about it.
Different classes you can play as?
But you don't pick them. It's randomly generated everything.
Okay.
And your class is kind of dictated by whatever weapon you pick up.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if it's better, you might go from an archer to a knight just because it's better.
Gotcha.
You know? But then you have your armor to worry about as well.
And you have hit points. So,
talk about fucking right up my alley, dude. Like, I'm really enjoying this game.
Two-player or
it goes up to four?
Oh. Yeah.
So I'm digging it. That's what I wanted to, like, I wanted you guys to get in a game before we started so you can talk on it. But the bosses are fun. Get this game.
Reminds me a lot of Castle Crashers.
Yeah, it does.
I'm sure there's a lot
more RPG elements, I would say,
yeah.
And more roguelike.
Artistic style.
Yeah.
Looks like it. But it's only $10. That's a decent price. On sale right now for $6.99.
Yeah.
Online and local co-op.
Wow. Okay. Bad. Cool. I'm down to play.
Oh, I didn't know it was online either. So, yeah.
That was a big problem in Castle Crashers. The online co-op just never seemed to work too well. On the Xbox, it was much better. But on PC, it was a fucking nightmare.
This is one of those rare games where the overall is very positive and the recent is higher. And it's over. Maybe because their netcode improved. I don't know. But
maybe they did an update that included new content or something.
Yeah. And you know what's cool, too, is Sam had her own save slot. I have my own save slot.
Oh, nice.
And so if you played, you'd have your own and you do your own unlocks and stuff. Really cool. Really cool. Play smoothly. No complaints, really, except for the slightly simplistic combat. But not to say that I'm running through this. Like, we died plenty.
Okay. And again, this is called Lost Castle.
Lost Castle. Yep.
Nice.
Cool. Bobby, you want to talk a little bit about...
Anything at all? Like, with words?
Yeah, I got plenty to talk about. I just fill in the gaps, what I do here.
Yeah.
I played a game called Neon Drive. This was suggested to me a while ago, months and months ago, I believe by Jens. He said, this is going to be right up your alley.
Another listener.
It's an 80s... style game. You take one look at it and yeah, you can tell it's something I'd like.
I saw it and I was like, hey, Bobby's gonna love this.
It's almost a rhythm game. If you look at it, it looks like a racing game because you have a car just driving endlessly on a road and everything is like supremely 80s, just very neon with the sun and the jagged hot pink grids and mountains.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a work of art game. And I wasn't too sure what to expect. When this game came out, before it came out, when Jens told me about it, it was the Kickstarter. And I had looked at the Kickstarter page, and people were talking about a knockoff game that was copying it called OutDrive. And OutDrive was a game that I got in a bundle, and it looks very similar. But when you play OutDrive, it's a very different type of game. It's almost like the old Atari games or Nintendo games, I remember, where it's more about banking the turn, slowing down, speeding up.
Oh, it's an actual racing game.
Yeah, yeah, but still one car on the road. But the game OutDrive is a much simpler game, and it doesn't look nearly as nice.
This looks very difficult.
I didn't play too much of OutDrive.
No, this.
Yeah, this is OutDrive.
Yeah, this is OutDrive.
Oh, my bad. Oh, shit, they look identical.
Yeah, they look almost exactly the same, which is why people were posting on the Kickstarter page for Neon Drive that, like, hey, this guy's kind of ripping you off. And he did make kind of a lower version, like a lesser version of it, but it is somewhat of a different game. But anyway, Neon Drive is a much better game. It was on sale, I think, for $5, normally $10. And it's a decent game. I think I put a couple hours into it, and I can't imagine putting much more into it. It's more of a rhythm game, though. And I really got into some of those rhythm games, like the Bit Trip series. Did you guys ever play that? There's side-scroller, and you have to, like, jump, duck, slide, like, do different things at different times.
They'll fuck you in. I don't know if this is their actual name, but I call them frustration games, where, like, can you restart right after dying instantly?
In this game, in Neon Drive, there's checkpoints that you can reach.
Oh,
unless
okay.
you play hard mode or insane mode, then there are no checkpoints. You have to do it all in one shot. And yeah, they can be very frustrating, but they're really testing your mechanical ability, your reflex time, and your visual acuity.
This reminds me a little bit of Amplitude and Frequency. Did you play that? Back in the day,
are those rhythm games where you can load in your own music?
Because Audio Surf does that.
Yeah, Frequency. So Frequency was the first one, and it was a four track like this, and the notes were on the different, but each track was a different thing. So audio, the vocals were on one track, bass line was another track, and so when you beat a section, it cleared it for a while. And so you had to switch tracks to try to beat that next section. So if you got it right, you got all four tracks going, and you could hear the whole song. But if you were missing tracks, and then you could keep the chain going.
Is this a mobile game?
Oh, you can look it up. It was a PS2 game or maybe a PS1. Frequency was the first one. You're going to have to probably call it Frequency video game or something.
Yeah.
But you could actually lay down your own tracks. It basically had a drum set, so you could lay down a bunch of stuff, and then the sequel.
So you'd have to make your own music.
Yeah, no, it came with it, but you could make your own one. And then okay. Frequency was the follow up, and the Frequency was like the red, blue, yellow ones you see over here.
I see. Yeah. Well, I played several other games on PC, like Melodies Escape and Audio Surf, where you can load in your own music, and it does its best to decipher that and make an obstacle course out of that. Melodies Escape did a really good job with that, I felt.
So, Bobby, you got two playable hours out of $5, right? I mean, there's more to the game, but you felt like you got, like that was a good deal?
Yeah. I got 3.5 hours log total for this game. And it's a fun game to play, like, in between rounds of HOTS. You know, it's just something that kind of tests your abilities.
How long are the levels on this?
3 minutes.
Okay.
Not very long at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's only 7 levels, but then there's different difficulties of them, and then there's an endurance mode, and then there's a time challenge. Like, there's a few other things, but once you see all the levels, and each level differentiates from each other enough for it to be entertaining. Because I played one level, I'm like, well, it's probably going to be all the same neon shit again. But they actually,
one's like a top down, and then there's one that looks like a robot.
Switches, yeah,
a some spaceship.
The levels switch to a top down mode. You fly off ramps. Some of them have other cars in them. Some of them have different types of obstacles. Like, they switched it up enough.
When you turn into a robot, it almost looks like a Bit Trip Runner, where like you're jumping over obstacles. Did you ever get to one?
But you don't really control like you going off there. It's more for just visual.
Gotcha.
Effect. It looks visually, it looks really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the music's good. It's got a great soundtrack. So I don't know. I enjoyed it. $5. It's probably worth it, but I don't know if a lot of people would jump on board with that. But, you know, speaking of games that I play in between HOTS, there's one I saw a streamer playing, and it wasn't really a game, but it was called Aim Booster, and it was this little program that popped up,
yeah,
and little dots would pop up, and they'd be targets, and you'd have to click right in the middle of it, and you do it as fast as you can, see how many you can get without making any mistakes, until you made 3 mistakes, and it stopped. And it was a really interesting program, and it would be really good for a game
MOBA.
Because I don't know so much as a first-person shooter, but a game like an RTS where you need to click on, like, your actions per minute and your accuracy of clicks really matters, then I could see that being beneficial. It looks like it would hurt my hand. Like, it just watching it made my hand hurt. But you can see this program right here, Aim Booster. So this guy's
like whack-a-mole.
Yeah, whack-a-mole, basically.
And this guy has the Aim Booster world record. That's the last thing I would want a world record on. Like, you can't really brag even to gamers about it. Yeah. Hey, you know that practice thing that... it's like being really good at masturbating, but not at sex.
I think it's just like a precision tool to make you better at some game. So, I don't know.
I'm really bad at that. I always have to do the mouse over and then back it up and then back it up again to, like, you kind of... zoom in on the spot.
I'll tell you what ruins that is mouse acceleration, which some games have enabled by default, and some games don't let you turn off. One Heart was a game like that where it would not let me turn off mouse acceleration, and it was terrible.
Wow.
Absolutely terrible.
Hey, Mike Hogg, can we talk a little bit? Jeez.
Go right ahead.
So I took Chad's advice, and I downloaded Burrito Bison Lancha Libre, despite its ridiculous name, and I've thus spent $10 on it.
Really?
Yeah, I turned off. No, actually, it's more like $7.
They do flash sales, you know.
Yeah, and it was a flash sales on the no more ads thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and it was. I paid $5 for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then before that, though,
I almost did.
Yeah.
On that also, there's another one that will just double all your gold earned.
Right. Yeah.
Which
I wanted to. All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. First of all, it's hilarious. It's really fun. We're discussing it on the Discord. If you haven't joined, join our Discord. You can find a link at our Steam page. So we're talking about it. I'm like, okay, on one hand, I don't want to continue because it's just the exact... If you're making 500 gold or 500 million gold, it's the same thing. It's just progressed. Like, nothing's really changed. But every launch is fun. So despite how much I win or lose or progress or don't progress, I have fun. They made it so ridiculous and so fun that I just keep doing it. And then I was like, okay, the only thing I hate about this game is the way they do their ads. which is still a fair way of doing ads.
You get to choose whether or not you get to
choose, but of course you're going to, because that's all the progression.
Yeah.
So I paid the $5, and then, but before that I had paid for like $2 for like seven super pinatas or something.
Oh, I'd never tried a super pinata. Are they,
you get seven things inside instead of four.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So yeah, just a great game.
How far have you gotten? Did you,
I got past, I mean, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to ruin it.
Okay, but you got to the gummies part?
The gummies part?
The portal part?
Yeah, the portal, yeah.
Okay.
I'm at the portal.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Well, let me talk mobile while you're talking mobile.
Okay,
I played a little game called Survivor, free to play. I think it was designed by one person, and it's basically a survival picture like... picture like Rust, I guess. And it's basically Rust, but all in just, you don't move around. It just tells you what's going on. You say you want to, so you get in an accident or whatever, and you have to get to town. So you can choose to start a fire. So you select the fire option. So you don't see your character. You don't see any of the action. It's more just kind of a text-based adventure.
Is there any imagery? Any pictures?
There is. Let me pull up the exact name, so if you can try to search for it. It is called Survive. Not Survivor, sorry. Survive mobile game. Yeah, so you can see the top left ones. So you can see your inventory. You can select different options, but you don't actually see your guy. You don't see anything. It's basically a text based or a GUI interface game to try to get out of there. And I've been playing this. I put 4 or 5 hours in, and I still haven't gotten to the town yet. So I feel like a failure on this game. And
but that's the end of the game, though, right?
Yeah, but then there's different like locations. So the easiest one is you're in this valley and you're trying to get to the town, but then there's a harder setting where you're in a mountain and trying to get back down the mountain.
Oh, gotcha.
And I haven't even beat the easy one.
How do they make
yet.
Their money?
I haven't figured that out yet. There's one ad when I first booted up or start a new game, and I haven't been asked for money yet.
Good on them.
And it's a free to play game. So it's called Survive. I'm enjoying it. It's been a challenge so far, but maybe I haven't exactly figured out the proper way to do it. So I recommend it, free to play.
Reminds me of that game that you bought me, where like you wake up in a lab. There is visuals.
Oh yeah, that zombie game that was that isometric, and it was like hexagons, and you moved hexagons.
Yeah, but I don't think there were zombies, was there?
Yeah, it was a zombie kind of game.
Anyways, I bought four things on sale during the fall thing. So it was Lost Castle. I was like, why do I have a wish list? I'm never going to buy these fucking games. So I just bought everything that was on sale. So I got Lost Castle, Brigador, Bunker Punks, and Time Rifters. I didn't play enough of Brigador to really
say much on it. What kind of game is Brigador?
Brigador is a mech. And do you remember...
I like it already.
Do you remember in Super Nintendo, there was these... games where you were a helicopter and it was like desert strike or whatever it was.
And there was a bunch of them.
Yes, there was a bunch of them. This is the same thing in a mech. But
oh yeah, I've seen this game.
This is really hard. I could already tell. I just went through the tutorial and just the controls. So the direction of your legs are independent of the way your torso is. So you're trying to control that. And then also, both your primary and secondary fire have separate arcs. Everything arcs down, so you have to kind of... it gives you a laser pointer that show where you're going to go. You can see right there. But at the same time, it's not point and click. Like, you have to consider the arc that's going into it. I haven't played enough to say whether it's good or bad, but I'm really intrigued because, you know, you're getting all this money, and then there's like, it's one of these things where there's so many upgrades, like so many, overwhelming amount, so you can really tinker with your build. And so that's the exciting part for it. I'll tell you guys next week. I think it's going to be too hard for me.
Okay.
And there was no difficulty setting that I saw, but then again,
is it different levels and you have to pick your level and do it, or is it?
It's kind of. It's like world? It's not. Definitely not over. Like, here's a mission. Here's the set piece.
Okay.
Go through the map.
Do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Do it. Also,
Time Rifters, right?
Yeah, but somebody wanted Far Cry 4, Bobby.
Yeah, I'll talk a little bit about that. I got into Far Cry 4 again. I never finished the game back when I originally played it, but I figured it would be a good time to get back into it considering I had the new GTX 1080, and I wanted to see how it looked on that. I maxed out all the settings, and it ran pretty poorly, so I had to turn
really?
A lot of things
Ouch.
Down. I ran it, I went into the GeForce NVIDIA Experience or whatever the hell they call it, and just told it use whatever the recommended settings are for the 1080. After I did that, I went back into the game, and it looked great, but it's still, I feel like when I was moving around, there was some stuttering, there was, it wasn't as smooth as I thought it would be, and Far Cry games have always had this problem for me. When I see like characters or people or even patches of land, there's a lot of popping, especially with the trees. Parts of the textures are missing on people's faces. Just weird little things like that. And I don't know. I think it's just the game itself that has
Yeah,
that
that's
problem.
What I was going to say. The 1080 should be more than adequate to run this at all two levels, right?
Yeah.
Well, at the 2560 by 1440 resolution, I mean, that is asking a lot.
Is it?
But what that's I've noticed true. Is a lot of games, Neon Drive included, have the option to run at 4K, and that uses something that NVIDIA calls dynamic super resolution, DSR. Basically, you run at a higher resolution, and it renders at a higher resolution, but then it scales it down to your resolution. So you get that quality. You get that 4K quality, but at a lower resolution. And it looks fine on games like Heroes of the Storm, Neon Drive. But when I tried doing that with Far Cry 4, it was like, nope, not doing that.
Did you actually play the game, or was it just a stress test?
No, I did play quite a bit of it. I got back into it. I like the game. I've said this before. I'm just really impressed at how much research goes into a game like that when they're portraying a culture, like that Himalayan culture.
Yeah.
And
do you love eagles?
I don't have a problem with the eagles. I know everyone always complained about that. I'm halfway through the game, like through the main campaign missions, and I'm just kind of going through the main campaign and ignoring a lot of the
so
side quests.
So you think, dude. Did you get to the main, there's a bridge where you have to blow it up, and then an entire other world is unlocked?
I don't know if I'm at that part yet.
You're about probably on the precipice of that. Mm-hmm. Once you, so I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going right through this. So you blow up this bridge, and then you go through, and there's a second map that's bigger than the first one. So there's a lot to it.
Yeah. But getting around can be a pain in the ass, but if you find those little helicopters, it makes it a lot easier.
Those things are awesome.
Yeah, those ones.
Man, I love that game.
It's a fun game, but I don't know. I feel like it doesn't do enough different than Far Cry 3.
What?
I don't know. I love Far Cry 3. I had a great time with that and Blood Dragon. But Far Cry 4 just seems like they gave you elephants. They integrated the whole animal killing thing with throwing the meat. Like, that's actually a thing in the game rather than a funny circumstance that can arise in Far Cry 3. I don't know. I think it's a great game, but it's like Call of Duty at this point for me, where if you played one, then you played them all. But you've played all of them, including Primal.
Yeah, I think I like this one more than Primal, even. I like them all. I love the way they do things. I really love the Far Cry series, I guess. I never really thought about it, but yeah, I'm a big fan of the series.
I don't do a lot of series, I've noticed. Like, I played one Assassin's Creed game. I played maybe two or three Call of Duty games. Two and a half.
Out of 12.
Yeah, out of like 14 or whatever they're up to. I played like two of them all the way through. Far Cry is probably the series that I played the most of. I played one. I played maybe an hour.
Which one
or two.
Was one? What was the setting?
One I never played, actually.
One is, a lot of people didn't play one. A lot of people hopped in at two, and two was the one I skipped right over.
Was that the island? It was on an island?
Yeah.
That you crashed
on? Yeah, and then
on?
Halfway through, like, you find out they have mutants on there and shit got weird. But yeah, I liked one a lot.
I think one, the specs were so high when it came out, my machine couldn't run it.
It's like, I think that's another crisis, right?
Yeah, it was like a crisis.
It was like the original crisis.
Yeah, for sure. So, Bobby, so you meet, man, can I remember this name? Like Panang Young or whatever his name is, that really eccentric guy in the game, the Far Cry 4.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, right? At the very beginning of the game.
Are you? Oh, you're talking about the main antagonist?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was his name? It wasn't...
Whatever it was.
Yeah.
It's not important, but you're going to look it up anyway.
Yep.
Keep talking.
But at the very beginning of the game, he comes, he gets you, puts you on the helicopter, takes you to his place, and he says, wait here. And then you hear that guy getting tortured. Spoilers, but the game's old. I didn't want to say this last time I played it, but this is so interesting. So he says, wait here, and he goes, tortures the guy. Of course, you don't wait there. You get up and start exploring, and the game begins. You remember all this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you actually wait there and listen to him, he comes back 3 minutes later, and you win the game.
You don't win the game. You get to an ending.
Well, you get an ending.
Yeah.
But it's a good ending. You're now the king, basically.
Really?
He has your inheritance, and it's yours. And basically, that's the reason, well, you have to play the game for more information, but it's so funny because nobody will ever stay at that table. But if you do, you just happen to win the game.
We're trained by 8,000 other games of that course. We play.
And that's why they knew this Easter egg would stay hidden for at least 72 hours.
Yeah.
I think somebody went to take a leak.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he came back. Probably me.
He's watching the end cutscenes. He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, wow.
Okay, what else are we talking about?
Bobby got a slew of MOBAs, downloaded them.
Downloaded them, but I ended up only playing Paragon and League. I mean, of course, Heroes of the Storm, but I did play some League of Legends, and it was really weird. Every time I go back to play either an RTS or another MOBA after this like long duration of Heroes, like I'm always surprised at how much better I am at those games. Like when I went back to play StarCraft, I'm like, holy shit, my APM is through the roof compared to what it used to be. And with League, like I fell right into it. I was like, okay, I totally understand this.
Who are you playing, just out of curiosity?
Played a lot of Lucian.
Lucian, who is the ADC?
Lucian, yeah.
He's the dual pistol light wielder, right?
Because I know so little about League of Legends that I just saw a guy I recognized. They're like, all right, I'll take him. Okay. I know so little about the characters that I don't know who I should pick in what composition, but
you could have texted your boy.
No, I just ask in chat. I'm like, who do I pick here? And they're like, that guy. That guy's good. Like, I'll hover characters. But that game, it was fun, but I stand by my original comparison to Heroes of the Storm. It's just so much slower. The controls feel sluggish to me. I know Heroes of the Storm has more responsive character controls than Dota 2. Dota 2, it's like you're walking one way, then you click the other way, your character stops, turns around, then walks the other way. Like it's even more sluggish. Heroes of the Storm, it's just like you have to learn to stutter step in that game because you aren't going to be a good player otherwise. And I don't know. I just enjoy the shorter games, the faster pace. But it was enjoyable. I enjoyed
League. Did you like the added complexity, or not complexity? Did you like the added part about last hitting, or did you not find that enjoyable?
No, I never found that enjoyable. But I found it easier to do in League compared to Smite and Paragon. But what I noticed, and I don't know if this was the character I was playing, but there's a delay every time I would auto attack.
Yeah.
And it's like that in Heroes for certain characters. Sergeant Hammer, there's a delay on her auto attack. I don't know if this was just Lucian. I played some other melee characters, and it didn't seem as bad.
They talk about that in League and in other MOBAs too, like the auto attack feel. Like, does the auto attack feel right, or does it feel sluggish, or does it feel... And you kind of have to adjust your last hitting.
It doesn't feel right in Paragon, that's for sure. That's the number one complaint with Paragon.
Well,
is the auto attacks.
With Paragon, I felt like your auto attacks were doing small chunks, so you have a very small window to last hit.
Yeah.
Like if you're only doing 5%, you gotta hit that last hit within that 5% window.
Maybe it was the characters that I was playing in Paragon. In Smite, there was a point where you one shot a wave.
Yeah.
Like late game. And I felt like that wasn't the case with Paragon.
And most MOBAs, at least the ADCs, will get you there.
Also, speak for yourself, because my guy is built for taking out waves, so I put down one flamethrower.
Yeah, maybe that was it, too.
I get them all.
The guy I was playing was not really specced into that. And plus, he was a melee character.
And Fastidious, who introduced us to Paragon, he nailed it. I mean, like I've said a lot, you listeners probably know me better than my family does, because you guys hear me so much more. He was like, this is going to be your dude. And it was like a turret-based caster. And, of course, like I took to him really well. Like Vulcan was my guy a lot of the time on Smite.
Vulcan. Yeah. Man, I miss that guy.
He was not good at all at the beginning. And I just tried to make him work as much as possible because he had turrets. I'm crazy about turrets.
He had three turrets to start with.
Yeah.
He was insanely overpowered when he first came out.
Yeah.
And they nerfed him.
And then too much.
Yeah, they super nerfed him. Yeah,
and then they changed him.
They found a good spot for him now, I think. But anyway.
Well, to finish up.
Hots is the best MOBA of all time.
Well, I guess.
In case you were wondering.
What kind of person do you think would be a Heroes of the Storm player versus what type of person is a League of Legends versus Paragon? Because those were the three you kind of played.
Yeah, first psychoanalyze all types of personalities.
Well,
then cross-reference that with each game that you've
played. This is what I've come to realize about these types of games. There's really no rhyme or reason to why people take to one kind or the other.
It could be the first one that you invest.
It could be the first. Yeah, because these games... And I played a ton of Heroes of the Storm while I was on break, and a lot with listeners, Beirut and Fastidious, and they all came from other MOBAs. So they were mechanically able to play very well in this game, but they didn't have that game knowledge yet of, okay, I'm this character and they're that character. Like, I can look at it's like Bobby Fischer with chess. Like, I can look at a composition or a fight that's going to break out. I'm like, this guy's going to do this, then that guy's going to counter with that, and then I'm going to do this, and then we're going to win the fight. So I'm like, all right, guys, let's take this fight. You know, like, you can look at something and take a snapshot and be like, we should take this fight. Or you look at something, you're like, we got to get the fuck out of here. This is not going to end well. So, like, I can do that because I've played so much. I have that game knowledge. I know each character and what they do, and that just takes time to build.
And equally... You can be like, let's not engage, right? Because if the cards look wrong for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I was almost going to do a Reddit post. I never post on Reddit, but I've been working on a little write-up on your...
We have a website, Bobby, that you could post it up.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, I would put it on there as well, but okay. Reddit, you get a lot more attention.
He wasn't going to be for you. Yeah.
But when I'm on break, I have all this extra time, and I take on...
DLGaming.net, I'm not sure if...
Everything, all DL is at DLGaming.net.
That's a good
Except
one.
For our link to our Discord, because Bobby likes to play HOTS.
That's on the Steam page. It might be on our website.
No, I don't think so.
I think it was a dead link. We had to change it. Anyway, but I was going to do a write-up on your stances. There aren't real stances, but basically there's terminology that I see a lot of competitive players use, and like all in. All in is you are given everything you got to kill one.
You're
going to
fight or die. That's all in,
and
right?
Usually you all in on one person. So that's all in. Then you have play up or step up. Like when I play people, I'm like, I'm used to being the tank. So I'm the one who's like, all right, let's step up. You know, if this guy wants to step up too, then we're going to fight. You know, it's an aggressive stance. And a lot of tanks don't know when to do that, or they do that at the wrong time. And then you have poke, which is like, let's just hang back. Let's let the auto attackers try to get shots in. If an opportunity opens up, then we'll go in.
Or
then,
somebody like, who's it? Ling? Who's the girl?
Li Ming,
who can shoot long range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have
spells.
A lot of characters with long range spells,
yeah.
And you can get poke in that way. And there's certain
still,
times that you want
to
do
safe,
that.
But you still want to do damage.
Yeah, so you're safe. And then there's reset, which is like, we just had a team fight. Okay, now we need to back off and just everybody get safe, and then we can go back to
heal
poke.
Up and go
yeah,
back.
And just we can re-engage if it's right, but a lot of people don't know how to reset. They just go all in, and they're just like, all right, we're either killing them or they kill us. Like, they don't know how to pull back. And then there's just disengage or retreat. So there's these levels, and knowing which level which one you need to be in at which time is incredibly important, because the game is so focused around team fights.
But how can you balance all that stuff when all you have to do is soak, Bobby? Oh, you have to just sit.
You want to soak until level 10, maybe 13.
I was joking. After that point,
and that's a big problem that people make too. They're just like they hit level fighting. 10 or 11. And I'm just like, dude, we aren't soaking anymore. Like shit's going down. It's time to fight. So, I mean, soaking is kind of important, but it's very low on the priority. Early game, a wave of minions is worth more than a kill, and a lot of people don't realize that. They'll go all five people, one lane, get a kill. We're like, we did it, guys. We did it. They respawn in 10 seconds. We missed two lanes worth of soak. So we actually are behind on XP now than as opposed to if we just split up and safely soaked.
You know, I know
that on
for is,
days.
You know that Bobby's a master? He's a legitimate master.
Yeah,
at that game.
Well, he's done 10,000 hours.
That's the game knowledge, though.
You have 10,000 hours, Bobby? No.
No.
There's no way. Not. That takes
I've got 5,000 games. Yeah, maybe I do have 10,000 hours.
Jesus.
But that's the game knowledge I'm talking about. And if you develop that game knowledge for Dota 2 before you play League, chances are you're going to stick with Dota 2. So you might be right. Whatever game you take to first. But I don't know. I don't think there's a rhyme or reason. I could argue that HOTS is shorter games, and that fits better with my current situation because I don't have a whole lot of time to play. So I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it.
For sure.
I don't know. But really, I don't think there's any difference.
You could also cross-pollinate a lot of the information that... So if you learn one MOBA, that will help you in a second. And then by the time you pay a third, you'll be like, okay, it took this and this from that game.
And there's a lot of cloned characters. Like, you go into one MOBA, they're just like, okay, well, Stitches is Pudge. Okay, I get the
and
kit.
I think one of the problems with MOBAs is people put too much emphasis on things when they switch to a new MOBA, and those aren't important. Like, if you go to Heroes of the Storm, there is no laning phase. So people go from League of Legends and they...
Yes, there is. You have to soak up until level 10.
So people go into Heroes of the Storm and they start doing their laning phase. What are we doing 2-1-2 or whatever? Who's doing mid? And then it's a whole different ballgame. So
I don't know. As I've been playing a lot. My MMR has been going up. So and I've been playing with a lot of high-level people, too, and the games are completely different. They know like what they should be doing. And I remember when I first started playing the game and I approached it like a lot of other MOBAs, and it definitely isn't. I mean, on one map, you typically have one person who goes and solos a lane. Then you have a four-man rotation that goes back and forth between the lanes and possibly trying to get picks. So it changes per map. But it's not like a lot of your standard MOBAs.
Yeah.
So Time Rifters is a first person kind of like, it reminded me a lot of Portal because you go into this room and you're trying to solve a puzzle, but
Bobby,
it's not,
bring it up?
It's not really a puzzle. It's kind of a shooting puzzle. You got to knock.
Why does this sound familiar?
No, because you're thinking of Time. It's the first person shooter where.
Oh, Time Rift, I think it was, or Time Shift.
I don't
time
remember.
Time Shift, something like that.
Anyway, this is not that. This is like. It's
looks
a shooting.
Like a VR game.
It probably has a support.
Oh, it definitely does. I remember seeing this advertised a lot for the Oculus Rift when it came out.
And it'd probably be better on that. And it's not a bad game. Basically, it's a shooting puzzle. It's exactly how can I shoot all these red dots in the most efficient way. But here's the twist, and this is its selling point. You are your own raid group, kind of.
Okay.
So you go in the first time and you do something. Then you go in as a second clone of yourself and do something else to not copy the first time, but to complement the first time.
Okay.
So maybe you go in and you attack all the ones on the right side.
So each of your playthroughs technically happen simultaneously.
Yeah, it's almost like when you
do it at different times.
Right. It's like when you're playing a racing game and you watch the ghost of yourself.
Gotcha.
Your ghost is helping you, but you know what it did it because it was you last time. So, but this happens four times. So by the fourth time, if you really want to get into the nitty gritty, you could have somebody be attacking the head of the monster. Somebody over here attacking the blocks that are blocking the head of the monster. That guy would go first because the second guy has to get to the blocks. And this goes on and on and on. And you can really like deconstruct what the order that you should be doing these things are. So where sometimes you have to do things to open a door And so you're going to commit your first two guys to just opening that door so that your third guy can get through the door so that you can go on. Sometimes you'll be fighting a big giant monster and try to surround it. And that's why it's kind of like a raid boss and all that. A really cool concept. And that's why I bought it. I remember PC Gamer covered it. I was like, oh, that sounds awesome. Now, in actual practice, it's all right. Conceptually, it sounds amazing. Granted, like all of my games, I paid it for about an hour or two. So I will take a second look at this, but I'm not super thrilled with it. It's just a cool concept that had an okay execution.
It's almost like a, I don't want to say new genre, but it's I've never seen a game like that.
Yeah, me neither. So maybe we'll see something else that pulls it off a little more excitingly. But if they were going for VR primarily, then I could see.
Gotcha.
Yeah. One more you had.
Yeah. Do you have, you seriously?
Yeah.
Again?
Uh-huh. This is what happens when we drink beer.
I think you're pregnant. The last thing I wanted to bring up. So I was dicking around on ESPN this weekend, and I saw an article called... The Holy Grail of Nintendo, or something like that. And basically, the article was about what's the rarest Nintendo game? It's the track and field one. Why am I drawing a blank? Anyways, it's about the most expensive Nintendo game. It's the Holy Grail of Nintendo cartridge games, and it's the one that turned into stadium events. So. I was reading this article about stadium events and how it came to be on ESPN. And they referenced a movie called Nintendo Quest. And I was like, this is kind of a cool, interesting thing. So let me see how much it costs to play it. Anyways, it's free on Amazon Prime. And I have Amazon Prime. So I booted it up and watched Nintendo Quest. Bobby, have you seen this one? I know you're
never even heard of it.
In the games? Sure. You're into game movies and stuff. So basically, the movie of Nintendo Quest is one of the guys is a filmmaker and his best friend who loves Nintendo. The filmmaker challenges his best friend to collect every cartridge of Nintendo in a month, in 30 days. And so that's 678 cartridges in 30 days. And it's basically a road trip while they go and try to collect all the Nintendo cartridges. The movie is really just a documentary on Nintendo, but they package this up in this nice little kind of competition that they're doing. And he's trying to do it. He's got limited amount of money. He's got limited amount of time. He's trying to find all of them. And the caveat is he can't use the internet and he can't buy anything online. So he's got to do it all the old school methodology. Mm. And so it was a lot of fun. The film isn't super production value. Don't expect to see a Ready Player One or something that took a whole lot of time for it.
I'm confused. It's a documentary or not?
It is a documentary.
Oh, okay.
Called Nintendo Quest. Stick with us now.
Well, you're calling it a movie. I don't call documentaries movies.
You don't?
No. Bobby?
Yeah, it's a movie, but when you say, it didn't have any special effects or wasn't, I don't know. A documentary is not really known for it.
Documentary is a genre of a movie.
Yeah, you were kind of saying it like a plot, and
okay.
Documentaries don't have plots.
No, yeah, it is a documentary. That I don't think anything is staged or anything. But anyways, it was fun. I enjoyed it. Didn't have a whole lot of production value, but it also gave a good history of Nintendo. And, there was a whole section on the sound and how the sound was put together. And they talk about why these Nintendo games were so popular and a little bit about the time involved and all that stuff. So it was fun to just learn about the Nintendo a little bit more and see these guys do this quest. And I won't spoil it to let you know if he accomplishes it or not. But I recommend it. Again, it's called Nintendo Quest.
What was the documentary that people... were recommending not too long ago. People in Discord were recommending it. It was similar to King of Kong, so it was about an old Atari game. New one on Netflix.
I don't know, but
was it the E.T.?
No.
That's the one that I was going to ask. Does anybody know the outcome? Did they find them?
Yeah.
They found like a... You didn't see the documentary?
I didn't watch it, no.
Oh. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, they found like...
I saw the trailer.
They found like a part of one. They didn't find
a
like...
A part of one?
Yeah. They found like one...
They found like a small shipment, not like the shipment they were expecting.
Okay, but not just one piece of cartridge.
There was, it wasn't like a gold mine of it, like they're all buried out there.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, that was a good documentary. And I've heard the Atari story so many times, and that, it is a very interesting story.
What's the name of the documentary, anybody?
I forget. It was something Atari.
E.T., The Forgotten Quest.
No, it was more Atari-related, not E.T. related.
Yeah, it was focused on the E.T. game. Atari Game Over, is what it was called. And there's several other Atari documentaries. That was the one, Game Over. Rise of the Video Game on Discovery Channel had a good...
There's also a French show that has 10 or 12 episodes on Amazon Prime, and it's each episode features a separate esports kind of player, but they're all French ones because it's a French. I don't know if it's a French channel that's doing it or whatever. It'd be cool to see one that was more. So,
did you watch it?
No, I haven't seen any of them yet. They just came out recently.
So you're talking about a thing that exists.
Well, I saw it and I was like, this is cool. I wish other countries did it.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Like the French ones, some of them I had heard of one or two, but most of them I hadn't heard of.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, this would be cool if it was more countries.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Should we talk about news?
Yeah, there's not much. I mean, I was really scraping. All the news was how much money you could save. That's all it was. Like, buy this, buy that, buy this. So... You know, plus, I don't think news is our most exciting and or factual part of our podcast. No Man's Sky is adding base building and stackable items. So it's funny because some of the biggest progression in that game is expanding your inventory, right?
Yeah.
So now you can stack, I don't know if it's infinitely, but you can stack a ton.
You better not be able to.
And yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, people have really pushed for... I mean, earning that took them a long time, and now if you just take that away, or how important that is, that's going to suck. And somebody found in their code that there's going to be, well, there's code in there for drivable vehicles on surface planets. So maybe that'll be in a later patch.
People need to slow down on in-code things, because a lot of shit gets made when a game is being created that gets shelved or people start working on it. Like, making
especially games that are getting sued and like,
yeah,
maybe aren't made. Well, they made a ton of money.
Making games is a long and arduous process with a lot of people involved, and things get started and then ended really quickly. And so like people have these things like, oh, there's all sorts of stuff in this game that should be coming out. No, it doesn't work that way. Like, it could have been an idea one guy had, and he started doing code, and it just never got in the game.
Yeah.
It's like finding a folder on someone's computer and like interpreting that as meaning something.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down that road.
It was about porn, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it was. So Titanfall 2 is already getting a free DLC. I looked into what it was. It's coming out next week, which is probably this week for you guys. It has a new map for PvP, which I still haven't played. I've been so fucking busy. Thanksgiving, and then my mom's here, and then just stuff and stuff. But new map, new loadouts, which is probably the most exciting part for me. I find the loadouts to be pretty exciting and diverse. And it's almost like I'd rather have a new loadout than a new mech. Because the mechs are kind of like, I think, I might be wrong here, light, medium, heavy, and then the loadouts. So the loadouts have much more diversity than the actual mechs themselves.
It's kind of shitty, though, that you can't visually see a mech and know what you're up against.
That's
true. Or can you?
I mean, if he puts up a shield, by that shield, you should be able to... If he puts down a certain kind of shield, you'll be like, oh, I know that's one of two options. Or if he throws a fireball, you know right away. Or...
He throws a fireball Ryu style?
No, more like...
Does he Hadouken?
No, it's more like lobbing hot lava. Yeah.
Okay.
And we've hit an all-time low. Oh, I just sucked all the energy out of the room somehow.
I don't know. Titanfall 2, I'm just not...
I want you to buy
this
more than... They're
trying so hard to get this game off the ground.
Yeah.
They're throwing so much into it.
And it's a good game, and people are liking it, and...
That's just not enough anymore. Video games are like TV. There's just too much good shit out there.
Absolutely. So when you asked me, should I buy Battlefield 1, I was like, yeah, it's a fucking great game, but it's so frustrating. You can die 5 times in a row without even seeing a bad guy. Titanfall 2, or just Titanfall, it takes a while for you to die because you're in a mech, right?
Yeah.
So like getting sure, you might get overwhelmed. But you need to be overwhelmed to be taken
out. But you haven't played PvP. You haven't told me anything. You haven't played that yet.
Yeah, I was supposed to do that this week, but I played a bunch of indie titles.
You're comparing single-player Titanfall 2 to multiplayer Battlefield 1.
Whenever you talk about Titanfall 1 or 2, I just assume multiplayer. Like, I don't picture that as a single-player experience.
So,
what's our runtime, Bobby?
Hour 15.
All right, that's about, that's about right.
Anything, well, what's next week looking like?
Yeah.
For everyone.
Anything coming out this week that we care about?
Well, I'll tell you this. I am not going to be buying any more. I have so many good games sitting on the shelf. Every week, I'm starting to sound like Chi. And her every day or every week plans, and then none of them happen. It's like, I want to go back and play all these games, and I just can't. So Titanfall, Battlefield... I'm not going to do both of those. I mean, they're heavy games.
You also talked about like two or three games in the highlights that you said. I'm going to play some more of that.
I'm completely smothered myself with games. And it's, first world problems, right?
There's actually a non-PC game that's coming out that I'm super excited about that I can't wait to play.
Well, shut up about that.
And it's The Last Guardian.
So I would say... Okay, so like if I just ask myself, what am I most excited about right now? It would be probably playing Last Castle with you guys.
I would say.
It's like the most
exciting.
Well,
my PC's not going to work for the next 4 days.
What do you play right now?
I'm probably going to have to play some
Bobby has to work.
Multiplayer with you, anyways.
Yeah.
Well, because it's online co-op, I may pick it up before the sale ends. And because it's online co-op, we could just play online because that game does look interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm also thinking about picking up Gears of War 4 because it is on sale for $35.99 and it's only available in the Microsoft Store, which gives you a copy for Xbox and for PC. And I remember a long time ago, probably 3 years ago, for Teacher Appreciation Day, a student gave me a $15 gift card to like the Xbox Store.
And I was have it?
I registered it on like Microsoft.
Oh.
I forgot all about it. So when I was looking at Gears of War 4, it was like, $15 credit. I was like, holy shit.
I'm in, dude. Let's do it.
So I was like, okay, you know, 15 bucks off of 35 bucks. So 20, 21 bucks for that game?
It's either me or Ezio, and we're both equally annoying, so... I don't know what
you can play with both, and maybe the two annoyings cancel out.
Yeah,
no, you can't. I think it's a two-player co-op, right?
Oh, is it?
I think it's only two-player co-op, but I've never played a Gears of War game because it's always been on console. Yeah. So I'd be interested in checking that out. I'll probably
we obviously love the same kind of games. I think 4 out of 8.
Well, you know what I really like, and I felt was such an underappreciated game was Bulletstorm, and that was basically a over-the-top parody of if you could get any more over-the-top. Than Gears of War.
Yeah.
So I think I'd really enjoy Gears of War.
Wait, was Bulletstorm the one where you can kick people and then whip them back and all that stuff?
Yeah, that like electro whip. And
That's right.
Chad, so when you ask yourself, I guess any PC game would be the answer right now, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't have a PC?
I would love to just turn a PC on.
Do you think maybe this was the antidote for your like WoW addiction? Just like taking forced 2 weeks off?
Well... A lot of people at my work, I was playing with 6 or 7 people, pretty hardcore, and it's kind of petered off, and now I'm like one of 3 people that are playing.
Yeah.
So it's a little less...
But who like, was it? I think it was Fastidious who was like, hey, dude, are you doing this and this? Because I was on the voice channel. Are you doing this raid? Are you doing this raid? And you're like, no, you know, we haven't really done that. And he's like, what do you play every day? What are you doing? Like, what are you filling your time with? Which is mostly what, dailies, I guess?
Yeah, you can do dailies, but...
Well, they don't have dailies anymore. It's World Quests.
Yeah.
Which are dailies in disguise.
Well, yeah, sort
dailies
of.
In disguise.
But I'm also playing a new character. Like, this monk that I'm playing, I had never played.
Monk's
heal? Yeah. They heal tank and DPS. And so there's all this, like, other stuff that, like, getting my crafting up, because I like doing crafting. And, like, dicking around with fishing, because you can, yeah, it's all these, like, little side quests that are fun to do for me. For me.
Yeah.
And that's why I like WoW, is because of all the little side stuff you can do.
Cool. Is that a wrap?
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah, I feel like we're missing, you know what? We
didn't drunk.
We didn't have a big laugh. That's what it was.
Not at all. You may have missed it. You were in the bathroom a lot.
Yeah.
Let me tell a joke.
Okay.
Bobby, did you hear about the two thieves that stole a calendar?
If this is a pun, I will punch you in the face.
No, I didn't hear about the two thieves that stole a calendar.
Well, they ended up both getting 6 months.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh, Bobby. Don't you dare laugh.
That's pretty funny.
That is not funny at all.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Next week, we will might be streaming to Discord. Discord is where it's at. Our Steam group is pretty much just nobody's there anymore. Once a week, we might get an update there. Everything's happening at Discord. It's a party. You can go there. You can talk. Any kind of tech advice, I don't know if it's accurate, but I've asked 3 questions in the last 2 weeks, and, you know, I'm happy with the answers that I got. We have a lot of smart guys on there, a lot of assholes, a lot of dicks.
Yep.
No, zero titties, zero vaginas, no estrogen, but it's a cool place to hang out. It's very accepting. Even the guy we don't like, we still talk to.
Yep.
If you think that's you, it's probably you. I'm just kidding. I just made up that whole thing. So
rude.
Chad, you got anything?
No, I don't.
Bobby, can I hear something profound?
Only time will tell. If it's a test of time.
Chad just played footsies with me. All right.
Also, wait, next week is our 3-year anniversary.
Oh,
wow. Are we going to do something special?
Shit.
Maybe a giveaway or something?
But we're definitely going to do the Discord, so you can jump on Discord, listen live, chat with us live. I mean, we'll watch the chat in Discord. Eventually, we might work this into having people on the show live as well, but I don't know. That's still a little ways off right now. It's just going to be listening.
So this will be Schmeagle.
So this is $2.99 then, is what you're saying. No, 3 years. Never mind.
3 years, yeah.
Sorry. My bad. I'm drunk.
Speaking for Barbie and for Chad, the stupid hobbits, the stupid fat hobbitses. Titties, everybody.
Bye.
That was terrible.